He covers the 49ers for Niners Nation. Jordan Elliott. Jordan, pleasure to have you on. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, Kerry. It's absolutely my pleasure to be on.
Yeah, really looking forward to our conversation. Like I said, highly recommended. A lot of people. I've been trying to spread out the guest love over the last few weeks, and a lot of people wanted to hear from you on the show. So I want to talk to you about Matt Maiocco's report today that Brock Purdy could realistically be ready to go for the regular season, could be cleared by the middle of 49ers training camp. But I wonder from your perspective what your expectations are for the 49ers. If Brock Purdy is fully healthy, ready to go, how do you see them coming into this season? How do you view this season if Brock is indeed full go?
You know, I think that they're in a spot where the team is so loaded that you have to have playoff expectations. I think given the state of the NFC right now, it's so wide open. You have a couple teams at the top, namely the 49ers, Eagles, and Cowboys, I would say, are kind of in a tier of their own above the rest of the conference currently. And then in the division, the Rams are retooling a bit. The Cardinals look like a complete mess. Seattle's up and coming, but they still have a younger roster. They're still kind of finding their footing in that sense. So I think if Purdy's ready to go week one, you have to expect that this team is going to be in a position to compete where they're winning 11, 12, 13 games. I do think on an individual level, though, it might take some time to establish a rhythm for Purdy just based on when exactly he comes back in the preseason. I think a great example of that was last season. We saw with Jimmy G when he didn't get that time during the preseason to throw during camp and see preseason action. That game against Denver against a really tough defense was one of the more horrific 49ers offensive performances we've seen during this run where they've been a contender. And I think, frankly, a lot of it just had to do with, you know, there's a little bit of rust there, and it took some time to get the timing and rhythm down. So that was for an eight-year veteran in Garoppolo. Purdy's going into year two, so if he comes in at the very tail end of training camp, or, you know, right there at the end of the preseason, I do think we have to temper expectations a little bit for him on an individual level. The good news is, though, that the 49ers roster is so talented in all three phases that they have what it takes to win games in September in kind of an ugly manner. Like, they can squeak out some close games that maybe otherwise wouldn't be if Purdy was a full go this whole offseason. So I think the expectations, whether he's there or not, frankly, week one, this team's ready to go. They're a contender, and they should be winning a lot of football games this year.
Yeah, I really like what you said, Jordan, about, you know, juxtaposing Jimmy Garoppolo, an eight-year veteran, with Brock Purdy, who's what, like an eight-game veteran at this point. So you do have to temper expectations a little bit. But I asked you that question right off the bat because we think that Brock Purdy could be healthy, but we don't know that. We won't know until August or September, or until he really starts letting it go. And so if Brock Purdy is not healthy, what are your expectations, at least at the outset of the season? Do you see Sam Darnold or Trey Lance being the guy? And how do you see this shaking out if the 49ers don't have their number one starter ready to go for, let's just hypothetically say, first month of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that whoever performs better in that training camp preseason time frame come August is going to be the guy that's going to be leaned on to do that kind of, you know, fill that void in a sense, because I really have a tough time unless they come out and they just, you know, light the league on fire in September and the 49ers are steamrolling opponents. I don't know that either of those guys could necessarily leapfrog Purdy on the depth chart given what he did last season and the level of competition he was beating and just the stakes that were there for the games he was winning. I do think that both of those guys, though, have what it takes to execute this offense. And the 49ers are in a position where they're so much better off than the majority of the league in the sense that you don't necessarily need this superstar elite quarterback to carry the offense week to week. When you look at the skill position group and it's littered with all pro players, you have George Kittle, Debo Samuel, you have Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk looks poised to take a major leap into that tier as well. I think those guys just need to be able to come in and kind of just keep the car on the road and keep it on cruise control and just not let it veer off the road until Purdy's able to come back. I don't think they're going to be asked to come in and score 30 points every single week. They just need to be able to come in, execute the offense in an efficient manner. And I think, frankly, whichever guy ends up winning it, I think both of them have the capacity to do so. So it's going to be really interesting to see who they ultimately decide to do it, because I don't think that one guy necessarily has a major advantage over the other just in terms of skill and outlook from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, well said. Great analysis. We're chatting with Jordan Elliott, staff writer at Niners Nation. Does a great job covering the team. And so we've got those two questions out of the way. Expectations if Purdy is the guy week one. Expectations if either Darnold or Lance is the guy week one. Now I just want to ask you on a personal note, who would you rather watch, Trey Lance or Sam Darnold? Because personally, I would much rather see Trey Lance be given the keys to this engine and just find out what happens with all of that potential, find out what happens with that athleticism, and let him loose and see him go.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. And it's just, when you look at it in the bigger picture, right, like, they gave up so much capital to get Trey Lance, and they invested so much into him. When you mortgage 3 first-round picks into any player at any position, you'd like to know kind of what you have in them. And as much as the 49ers have been able to see, you know, things in practice and things that maybe the public isn't privy to, it will never equate what you see with the game speed. And we've only seen Lance in 4 games at that regular season intensity where you really get a true sense of what guys are going to be in the NFL. And we just, it's impossible, frankly, for anybody to have a definitive outcome on what his future is. So just for the sake of kind of knowing how this is all going to play out, I would like to see Lance play because if it works out, then great. You have your franchise quarterback. The investment you made was worth it. It was a little bit unorthodox in terms of the way that the development path went. But all that matters is you have a franchise quarterback, which is what the majority of teams are searching for year after year. And on the flip side, if it doesn't work out, at least you know that and you can have that definitive outcome and begin planning for the future. And maybe you do feel great about Brock Purdy being the guy. Maybe Sam Darnold does go on this incredible rebound run with the 49ers. But you have to get some kind of clarity there. And I think that Trey Lance playing is the only way you're going to get that definitive clarity given the investment they made in him.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
100% in agreement. I think that that would answer the most questions, and that sets the 49ers up just to know more, to have more knowledge going forward. So totally agree with that. Jordan, we're going to flip gears a little bit and talk about things other than the 49ers quarterback position. And I'll be honest, I rarely wade into the Twitter waters anymore, and I especially try to avoid 49ers Twitter, knowing that if I'm not locked in 100% of the time, 365 days a year, that I could get roasted. But I did say at the end of the regular season, or end of the postseason, I should say, when Robbie Gould and the 49ers were separating from one another, that I wouldn't mind having a kicker with a bigger leg than Robbie Gould. And yes, he was accurate, but it'd be nice to try one from 56 or 57 once in a while. 49ers found that guy in Jake Moody out of Michigan, but they found him with a third-round draft pick. I would love your perspective. Did they reach here? Did they do the right thing for where they are in terms of the personnel that they're already stacked with? How do you come down on using the draft capital they did on Jake Moody?
You know, it's an unpopular thing because I think it's unexciting, Kerry. I think that's the biggest issue, is that people don't really enjoy special teams discourse, which I get. It's the third and most forgotten phase of the sport of football, but it's so critical, and you never know how important it is until you don't have it. As we've seen, many teams have games and seasons, championship aspirations derailed because they had a kicker that they couldn't count on in the key spot. And I think with the 49ers, there's a little bit of, there's been some, they've been spoiled the last 10 years, right? Like, they've had Phil Dawson, they've had Robbie Gould, two of the more dependable kickers to ever play the sport. So you don't realize how good you have it until you don't have one of those guys. And if you're just looking at the team from a roster construction standpoint, they've done such a good job filling out not only the starting positions, but the depth at most of these positions on the roster. The only real glaring hole on paper going into the offseason after the free agent period was kicker. Like, they needed to get a kicker, and if they identified Jake Moody as being a guy who they can depend on, and just as you mentioned, give them maybe a little bit more room to take those 50-plus yard field goals, then I think it's not a reach at all. It obviously is contingent on him working out and him lasting, because the history of organizations drafting kickers that early typically isn't great. But I do think that the spot they took him is justified in the sense that they identified him as being the guy. And I've heard from multiple special teams coaches on other teams, there was not a chance this guy was lasting past the fourth round. And the 49ers didn't have a fourth round pick this year. So yeah, they would have ran the risk of waiting till round five and or trading up from that fifth round spot to get him. And I think just from where they were at, they identified a guy they believed in. And it's so hard to find good kickers that they made the pick where they had to. And it's all forgotten if he ends up sticking around for the next 5-10 years or so.
Yeah, that's a great point, and great context as well, that they didn't have the fourth-round pick. And so that is the place that you take him if you're in love with him, knowing that he wouldn't last until their next selection. We're chatting with Jordan Elliott. He covers the 49ers for Niners Nation. And Jordan, a few more for you before we let you go. I'd love to know, you talked about the stacked roster and the quarterback situation, kind of non-quarterback, the biggest question that you have about this 49ers team headed into the 2023 season.
If it's non-quarterback, I think the biggest question is just, can they put together that kind of, you know, magnum opus performance in the playoffs? Because we've seen this team execute at such a high level. They are so talented on both sides of the ball. And I say that all the time because I think the fact that they haven't been able to find that continuity at the quarterback position has overshadowed just how good the roster is, especially when you look at a defense that's been top five 4 years running, and they're in a great spot to make that 5 years in a row with the talent they added this offseason. But for whatever reason, they've just not been able to put together that performance in all three phases, whether it's the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. They've come extremely close, but fallen just short. So I would just say the biggest question is, can this core group of players that's extremely talented on both sides put it together in all three phases and kind of crest that mountaintop and win that championship? Because I think this is as good a year as they've been in a position to since Kyle Shanahan's been there. When you look at the talent on the roster, as well as the fact that the NFC is wide open, I can't remember a time where there was such a clear path to get to the Super Bowl. And once you get there, anything can happen. I do think that the AFC, the biggest issue is that it seems like every team that's contending has an elite quarterback. When you're looking at the NFC, I think that list shrinks vastly. So it makes that potential path for the 49ers much more feasible. So I would just say the biggest question is, you know, if they can't get it done this year with this core, realistically, when are they going to be able to? So I think that it's always unfair to have championship or bust aspirations and expectations for teams, but it's setting up about as nice as it possibly could be for this team, given the way that the roster is starting to age a bit and the fact that you just can't pay everybody the way the NFL is structured. So my biggest question is, can they get it done this year? And if not, do you have tough decisions to make in the offseason? Because you're not going to get a better chance than this year, in my opinion.
That's great. Really good big picture breakdown of where the 49ers are at, where they could go this season. And I like to end with a broad question, but Jordan, I'm actually going to go smaller on this one just because I think this is a fascinating one. If the 49ers get this answer, it could be huge for them. I want to know your opinion. Does Drake Jackson make the big leap in year two? Because he got off to a solid start last year, but really fell off toward the end of the last season. I know that he added muscle. Can he be the bookend to Nick Bosa?
I think he absolutely can. I think the biggest disservice to Drake Jackson when he was coming out of college was that he was played in a way at USC that didn't maximize his strengths as a player. And I think, frankly, that's the only reason he lasted until the back end of the second round. So it worked out in the 49ers' favor. But as a result, I think they made that selection knowing that it might have to be a redshirt year of sorts where they were going to have to work on some things technique-wise and build up his body and get his frame ready for what comes with a grueling NFL season and the 17-game schedule. And as you mentioned, you know, he had a 11% pressure rate over the first seven games, which is exceptional. That's among the elite players, not just rookies, but elite players at the edge position in the NFL. But that dropped all the way to 4% over the last eight games he appeared in. He had three games with multiple pressures over that first seven-week span, but he only had one over the last eight games he was in. So there was a clear drop-off, not only visually, but statistically, that kind of backs up that maybe he just needed to put on a little bit more weight and get his body in a position where it could deal with the marathon that comes with an NFL schedule. So the talent has never been an issue. I think it was more so just adapting and adjusting and getting himself ready for the things that the NFL game entails. And from what we've seen so far, it looks like he's not only bulked up, but he's ready to take on that role of not only just being a rotational guy, but being, just as you mentioned, that bookend that's going to be able to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities, because when you have Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead inside eating up blockers, getting double teams, and then you have Nick Bosa on the other side, the reigning defensive player of the year, this is a prime opportunity for Drake Jackson to really demonstrate what he can do and, you know, kind of be isolated where he can beat guys one-on-one. So I think this is definitely a year where he takes a big leap.
I got to give you credit, Jordan. If you're pulling pressure numbers off the top of your head, I don't know that anyone knows their stuff more than you. So that was tremendous analysis. Always appreciate it, and we should definitely do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Anytime, Kerry. It was my pleasure.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.